And we thank him and we bear witness that there is no deity but him and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger. May Allah peace and prayers be shed upon him, his companions, his household, and those who follow him to the day of judgment. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. We are still talking about important principles that we need when we try to understand the Holy Quran. And that's the most important task that should take a priority in our life, is to study and to understand the Holy Quran. The book of guidance, the most precious book. It will be a big shame on us when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the day of judgment. And we have read many books, and we have understood many books and many volumes and many subjects. But when it comes to his book, the book of guidance, we haven't studied much. And we have shallow understanding that is not sufficient for us to meet the challenges of the life today. Ramadan is coming. The dear guest, high-ranking guest, the precious guest is coming. And during that month, we take advantage of this month not only to read the Quran, it is to understand the Quran. I urge my dear brothers and sisters is to spend more time understanding the Quran than reading the Quran. Because understanding is more beneficial than reading. If you speak the language, then you can do both together. And that was intended originally. But if you don't understand the language, then spend a whole lot more time understanding the Quran and learning the meanings than reading the Quran. That would be much better, and inshallah would be much more rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third component, we mentioned two components of the Holy Quran, and we are starting to explain the third and last component of the Holy Quran. And in order to understand this component, we need to have correct and clear understanding of ourselves, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and of the universe around us. We started by giving brief understanding or brief explanation of the realization of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be realized and perceived in Islam. We said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only single unit, al-wahid, flawless, free of any deficiencies or shortcomings or imperfections. Knows the future, knows the past, he contains the time doesn't contain him. He controls the time doesn't control him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted us to know him by 99 names that he has given us. And we were blessed by these 99 names that would protect us from falling into myth and superstition. These 99 names clearly defined who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These names are divided into two kinds. The first kind is called the attributes of greatness, sifat al-jalal, attributes of greatness. And the second kind is called attributes of beauty, sifat al-jamal, sifat al-jalal, wa sifat al-jamal, attributes of greatness and attributes of beauty. Both are godly attributes. However, what's the difference between them? The attributes of greatness are exclusive attributes for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one else is allowed to share even a little bit of them. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says clearly in the Quran, وَمَنْ يَقُلْ مِنْهُمْ إِنِّي إِلَهٌ مِّنْ دُونِهِ فَذَلِكَ نَجْزِيهِ جَهَنَّمَ. Whomsoever tries to claim any of these godly attributes of greatness to himself, I am going to make him burn in hellfire. And he said subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hadith of Qudsi that greatness is my gown. Greatness is my gown. If anyone tries, greatness and honor is my gown and my dress. If anyone tries to share them with me, I break his back and I don't care. So no one can claim those with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah is able to take care of those, and He will take care of those who claim any of these attributes to themselves. And Allah destroys them in a very unique way. And when we come to the story of the Pharaoh, who claimed one of those attributes for himself, you will be surprised how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed him in a very, very unique way. Because he made a very, very unique claim. He claimed that he is the highest God. So Allah picked one very unique strategy to destroy him, to show how miserable is he. And inshallah we'll be talking about it when the time comes. Now, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he can take care and punish, and he will take care and punish anyone who claims one of these attributes to himself. But how about us? We are required and ordered not to confess and not to declare and give any of these attributes to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what we mean by monotheism. And you would be monotheistic if you do that. A person who only confesses, who only gives, who only submits all these attributes of greatness to one unit, to al-wahid, the unit, the one who deserves all these attributes, the one who qualifies for the, all these attributes, and no one else can qualify for him. And this is by giving any of those attributes to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is what is called the shirk. Shirk is to take one of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and give it to somebody else. It's to demonstrate through actions and words that one of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not for him, but for somebody else. For example, when you fear somebody more than you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that fear drives you to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you are giving one of the attributes, you are giving one of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to somebody else. You're confessing that this person is more, you're afraid of that person more than you are afraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah talked about this in the Quran. When he said, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ أَمَنَّ بِاللَّهِ, some people say that we have believed in Allah. فَإِذَا أُوذِيَ فِي اللَّهِ, when he is punished for standing up for Allah, when he is punished for being a soldier of Allah, فَإِذَا أُوذِيَ فِي اللَّهِ جَعَلَ فِتْنَةَ النَّاسِ كَعَذَابِ اللَّهِ, he makes equal the punishment of the people to the torture of Allah, to the punishment of Allah. He makes equal the punishment of the people to the punishment of Allah. And as a result, that person is going to quit and disobey what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he's afraid of the punishment of the people more than he's afraid of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. جَعَلَ فِتْنَةَ النَّاسِ كَعْذَابِ اللَّهِ, the punishment of the people equal to the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when the magicians and sorcerers, the magicians of the Pharaoh, when they won the competition, and then Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam threw his stick, it swallowed everything that they had thrown before, and they are experts in magic, and they knew this is not magic, so they knew that he's a true prophet, they bowed down to him. And he told them, how could you, how dare you to bow down to the God of Moses without my permission? Oh yeah, Moses, immediately he came up with an accusation, and he said, oh yeah, Moses is the one who is the big chief of black magic, and all of you are his students. He taught you all this black magic. You conspired with Moses. Okay? And then he said, your punishment will be cutting your hands and legs, the right hand with the left leg, and crucify you on the palm trees. And he did it. But what was the response? The response was amazing. They said, قَالُوا لَن نُؤْثِرَكَ عَلَى مَا جَاءَنَا مِنَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالَّذِي فَطَرَنَا فَقْضِ مَا أَنْتَ قَاضِ إِنَّمَا تَقْضِ هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. They said, do you want us to submit to your threats more than our submission to the clear signs that we have seen with our own eyes? Do you want us to be influenced by your threats more than we are influenced by the clear signs that we have seen with our own eyes? Do whatever you want to do. Your punishment is a short term. Your punishment ends with the life. But the punishment of Allah is eternal. Do whatever you want. Allah has given you freedom and power to do whatever you want. فَقْضِ مَا أَنْتَ قَاضٍ إِنَّمَا تَقْضِ هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا, only during the life of this world. And after that, you would be miserable. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishment is the eternal, most severe punishment. I'm not afraid. We are not afraid of you. And he did crucify them. And we know the story of the lady who used to, slave girl who used to make the hair of the daughter of Fir'aun. When she said Allah, so the daughter of Fir'aun asked her, "Do you have any other God except my dad?" She said, "Yes, the God of heaven is my God, your God, and your dad's God." So she went to her dad and she said, "That slave girl said so and so." So he brought the slave girl and four of her children. He brought a very hot boiling water. And then they started one child at a time. "Okay, how many gods do you have? Do you have any other gods except the Pharaoh?" She said, "No, yes, I have only one God, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." So they threw the first child, and then the second child, and then the third child. As soon as the child falls down on the boiling water, the child will melt and the flesh will, you know, spread right away in front of her eyes. And then she had a baby. She was holding a baby in her hand. And at that point, you know, when they killed the three boys and only one baby in her hand is left, she was thinking. She was thinking about saying, "Yes, the Pharaoh is the only God that I have." She was just thinking about it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the baby say, "My mom, don't you say it. My mom, be steadfast. You are following the straight path." And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that three children have talked when they are babies. The first one is Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, talked when he was a baby. And the second one was Ibn Mashitat Fir'aun, that son, that baby of the slave girl that used to make up the hair of the daughter of the Pharaoh. And the third one is the baby who was in Surah Al-Khandaq, in Surah Al-Khdud, when the king drilled the trench and he filled it with fire and he started throwing the believers one by one. One of them hesitated to jump. Her baby said, "My mom, jump, you are following the straight path." Three incidents. These are the three incidents where babies have talked when they were children. The bottom line of that is, when we submit any of those attributes, when we submit this kind of fear, the fear that makes us disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not the biological fear. If you see a lion and you run away, if you see a snake and you run away, this is called biological fear. And it's not a disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to run away from the snake. That's actually an obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to protect yourself. That's something else. But the fear that is declared to be an evil fear is the fear that makes you disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't do something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked you to do, or do something haram that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade you from doing. This is the evil fear. Any other fear less than that, that makes you do something which is not haram, then it's a good fear. It's a fear that there's no problem to have such a fear. And we normally have this fear because we are human beings. And other attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is al-ma'bud, the one whom we should be submissive to. If you submit, if you demonstrate, if you have demonstrated by your words and by your actions that you are submitting yourself to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you are giving that attribute which is in ma'bud to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are submissive to your temptations, if you are submissive to whomsoever power, whatever power that will make you disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to please that power, to get the gifts and the rewards that power is going to give to you. Whatever it is, this power is doing to make you submissive, either by fear, or by gifts and prizes, or by power, by money, by desires, by whatever. If this will lead you to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this is a demonstration by actions that you are giving one of those attributes that only Allah should give to somebody else. And this is kind of shirk. this is not the full shirk that makes a person as a non-Muslim, but this is a kind of shirk. When you deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala some of His attributes, when you partially deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala some of His attributes, denial means kufr. But not all kufr kicks you out of the umbrella of Islam. There is a certain limit beyond which you would be considered as a non-Muslim, but under that level of which you would be considered as a disobedient Muslim. A Muslim who is disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are degrees about these things. Indeed, even the kufr itself is not the same level. For example, the kufr of Abu Lahab is not the same like the kufr of Abu Talib. Abu Talib has the least level of kufr. Abu Lahab has one of the largest levels of kufr. And both of them have a common denominator, which is the minimum level of kufr that makes a person dwell in hellfire forever and never go to Jannah. But both of them don't have the same level of hellfire, because the levels of kufr are different. And so are the levels of iman are different as well. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ranks of heaven and grounds of hellfire. People go up and down depending on their performance. It is the reward, the perfect punishment and the reward system, the perfect system of justice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has established to reward the believers and to punish non-believers. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم استغفروا. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من